Well, good morning and welcome to our service today. For you, those of you visiting, our service is a little different today. The first Sunday of each month, we have a prayer focus, and then we spend time praying together. So welcome. Join us today in learning about prayer and coming before the Lord. That song hardly allows me to be silent, Jethro, because 34 years ago on that song, my wife walked in down the aisle, I think. So not today. Our anniversary is not today, but it was week ago. And that song has a special place in my heart. The topic for today is prayers of supplication. You know, in this thing of prayer, we all like to have answers to our prayers. Story is told of a pastor who, before his sermon, he would bow his head and pray before he preached. And his little five-year-old daughter said, "Dad," said, "what are you doing up there when you bow your head?" Well, he said, "I'm asking the Lord to help me preach a good sermon." She said, "Well, how comes he don't answer your prayer?" Ouch. One teenager said, "God has four answers to prayer: yes, no, wait, and you got to be kidding me." You know, nobody likes to feel like our prayers are going nowhere, and it's nothing new, because in Scripture, in Habakkuk, he said, "How long shall I cry and you will not hear?" So apparently he had something on his heart that he really wanted an answer, and he felt God wasn't hearing him. Job, you know his story, in Job 31:35 says, "Oh that no one hears me. Oh that the Almighty would answer me." We all want answers to our prayers. You know, the prayer focus we've been on, we've explored the subjects of the prayer of intercessor, the prayer of faith, spiritual warfare, and today, the prayers of supplication. We all want to know that God hears our prayers, and we all want to hear answers from God in our prayers. That's the longing of everyone, I believe. In polls, they say that 80% of people pray and pray for themselves, pray for other people. But how many people do you know that say, you know, prayers are really a strength of mine? That, you know, I would say that's my top discipline in my relationship with God. Very rarely is prayer one that they say is a strength. That they feel they're connecting with God in a real way. They're hearing from God. They're seeing evidence of God moving in their life. I'm not an expert in prayer, but I am a student of prayer and want to learn and want to grow. And I pray today, through being together, we can see through Scripture God's heart in prayer, and especially in prayers of supplication. As I began to study this prayer, I began to realize that there's some foundation that needs to be laid before we can even come to the prayer of supplication. So I want to do some foundational things before we talk about the prayers of supplication. My mind went to, you know, what the Bible says about our prayers even being answered and heard. The Bible has a lot to say about our prayers not being heard. And so if you feel your prayers are not being heard, maybe the reason is in this list I'm about to go over. And I think it's good for us always to remember that the Lord cares about our posture in prayer, and our heart in prayer. And so it's a reminder for us to have our hearts in the right place when we come to the Lord in prayer. It's kind of like you have a house key and you have a bunch of keys in your ring, and you go to put the key in the door and it's not unlocking the door. And it's because you have the wrong key. And the Bible says if our prayers aren't being answered, there's reasons for that. So I just want to look at a number of them here this morning. So the first one I have is maybe you're an unbeliever. I believe Scripture teaches that the only prayer that God hears from the unbeliever is a prayer for mercy in Luke 18:13. It says, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." Now, I'm not God, but as I look at Scripture, I think there's evidence that God hears that. I know God hears that prayer, but I'm not sure if he hears their other prayers or not. I would tend to think not. The second one is the prayers aren't being prayed. You know, sometimes we bow our head at that mealtime and we say a quick prayer and we think we've connected with God and God heard our heart and he knows everything we have in our hearts, and we think we've prayed to God. But sometimes it could be that we haven't even prayed it. In our mind, we thought we did, but we haven't even come before the Lord and actually prayed it. Matthew 7 says, "So ask and it will be given you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened unto you." Number three is because of unconfessed sin. Psalm 66:18 says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. And that's sobering. The word regard means to harbor. It means to intentionally know it's there, not care about it, and think God's going to overlook it. And then we come to him in prayer expecting God to hear our prayer. And God says, if you regard that iniquity in your heart, that sin in your heart, I'm not going to hear you. The next one is because of unrighteous motives. James 4, verse 3 says, you ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. The flip side is 1 John 5:14. Now this is a confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So on one hand, if we ask out of our own selfishness, he won't hear us. But if we ask according to his will, he will hear us. You know, I don't think God's concerned about who wins the game. I don't know if you ever prayed before a game that you would win or that the other team would lose, or I'm not sure how you pray at ball games. But I think the bottom line is that in all we do, that God would be honored and glorified, and to check our motives of our heart, you know, when we come to him in prayer. The next one is unresolved conflict. Mark 11:25-26. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that the Father, your Father in heaven, may also forgive your trespasses. If you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. You know, I think that's a big one, because forgiveness is a struggle probably for a lot of us. A lot of us have had things happen to us that are hard, and we want to get even, we want to get back. In our humanness, it's that constant struggle for a lot of us in a lot of situations. God says, if you don't forgive, I won't forgive you. So is there unresolved conflict that we're not willing to deal with and forgive? An uncompassionate heart, Proverbs 21:13. Whoever shuts his ear to the cry of the poor will also cry himself and not be heard. I don't know if I ever remember reading that verse. That's pretty plain, isn't it? If you shut your heart up to those in need, God says, you won't be heard as well when you cry. And the last one I have is selfish husbands. You could put deadbeat husbands. You could put a lot of words in there to describe someone who does not take care of his wife and honor his wife and love his wife. 1 Peter 3:7, husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as a weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Husbands, it matters how we honor and love our wives. It matters a lot. There's a lot of wives who aren't loved, a lot of wives who aren't respected, and we can't expect our prayers to be heard if that's how we're treating our wife. Some points to ponder in the foundational way as well about prayer. Prayer is relational, not transactional. In Jeremiah, he says, call to me and I will answer you. It's a relational, call to me and I will answer you. It's like you call your friend, your wife, your dad, whatever. You call and it's a relationship. It's relational. Call to me, seek, knock, and I will hear from you. It's an invitation from God. It's very relational. God wants to hear from his children. Don't think for a minute that God don't want to hear your prayers. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. You know, sometimes we boil down to, well, I prayed 5 minutes or 10 minutes or 2 minutes, or, you know, I prayed really long today, or I prayed really loud, or, you know, I went on this 10-day prayer thing, and we can do a lot of things that are like legalistic and regimented, but God wants a relational prayer, not a transactional prayer. Prayer is promise-centered, not performance-centered. It's not how long did I pray, did I say the right words. There's many verses that are connected to a promise, as our verse that we're going to look at today. There's a promise connected to the prayer. If you do this, I will do this. There's a lot of promises connected to prayer. Again, it's an invitation from God to draw near to him. Call to me and I will answer you. Prayer is promise-centered, not performance-centered. Think of the story of the Pharisees, how he talked about how they performed their prayers and were not from their heart. The last one I have is prayer is powerful, not magical. God is not Santa Claus who will give you everything you want on your list. If you pray a certain way that you will get what you want, or if you pray long enough you will get what you want, or if you pray loud enough you will get what you want. Prayer is powerful. We all know Jeremiah 29:11. How many know Jeremiah 29:11? I know the plans I have for you. How many know Jeremiah 12? How many know Jeremiah 29, verse 12 and 13? I didn't either. But I think they're mighty powerful when we think of God answering our prayers. I'll read 11 through 13. For I know the thoughts I have towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Verse 12. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search with me with all your heart. Isn't that powerful? That the God of the universe is inviting us to come to him in prayer and to bring our petitions to him when we come with the right motive and heart. It's like touching heaven to change earth. Prayer is powerful. It's beyond our what we can understand of what prayer does, because it's God who changes things. It's God who changes people's hearts. It's God who heals hearts. It's God who forgives. It's God who moves kings and kingdoms. It's touching heaven to change earth. So are you focused on a relationship, or is it a transaction? Is it promise-centered, or is it performance-centered? Is it powerful and not magical? Let's go to our passage, and I invite you to open your Bible, because there's some promises here I want you to underline in your Bible, if you do that, if you write in your Bible. It's a promise from God. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Now this passage, that some of our prayers come out of being anxious. When we come to him in prayer, some of them are because we have things in our heart that are really heavy. And even if life is difficult and hard, God promises, there's a promise in here for you. It says, be anxious for nothing. Let me back up. Again, this verse is promise-based and not performance-based. And as we look at the prayer of supplication, I want you to look at it as kind of conditioning your heart as you enter into prayer of supplication. Not that it has to be legalistic, not that it has to be regimented, but I believe when we come to the Lord with our needs, I believe the condition of our heart is important. And that's what I want to walk you through as we look at this verse. It says, be anxious for nothing. The Greek order says, stop being anxious about anything. Stop being anxious about anything. So there's God saying, hey, I know it's there's a lot of things that trouble us and cause us to be anxious and anxiety. He says, don't do that. Don't be anxious. Start praying about everything. So instead of being anxious and worrying, start praying about everything. Now there's four words that go with this passage that he wants us, four ways of praying. Some people have put it in an acronym of ACTS, and it's prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, make your request. And it's modeled after the Lord's Prayer, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Give us this day, forgive our sins. And they've put it into an acronym of A is for adoration, C is for confession, T is for thanksgiving, and S is for supplication. There's four ways of preparing our heart as we come to bring our supplications to him. And the result will be the peace that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and mind. So the first one I want to look at is adoration. I'm going to look at these not in depth, but just touch on them. So as we come before the Lord in prayer, our mind goes towards to heaven. It gets our mind off of ourselves, off of our problems, and focus on God and who he is. Some of you may have a spot where you like to go and just reflect on God. And some of you may be going out at night and just reflecting on the universe and what God has done in creation. Some of you may have another quiet spot where you love to go and just think about how big God is, how awesome God is. Adoration, how big and powerful. You know, when you have a big God, your problems tend to be small. But when we have a small picture of God, our problems tend to be big. And so when we get a true picture of who God is in adoration, get your focus off yourself and put your focus on God. The second one is confession. You know, when we see God for who he is, we tend to see us for who we are and for our sinfulness and our shortcomings. And it calls for a time of reflecting within. So we get a picture of who God is, of adoration, then it's a time of confession, a picture of what's going on inside us. It focuses on our lack of resources, my inability to handle this situation I'm facing. It's awareness of my limitation and my dependency on God. You know, it leads us to a time of confession and examining our heart. Lord, is there anything in my life? Are my motives right? Are my attitudes correct? You know, a lot of the Old Testament classic prayers started out with who God is and then led to a time of confession. Confession means agreeing with God to own our sins. I believe if we want to be honest with God in prayer, we need to be honest with ourselves. And sometimes that's hard and painful as we look inside. Psalms 145:18 says, "The Lord is near them that call upon him, to all them that call upon him in truth." So he's calling for us to be honest with ourselves as we come to him. And sometimes it's painful to see ourselves as we really are. Confession is not beating us up or beating yourself up, but it's admitting that we can't do it and that we need the Lord. And it's coming before him and saying, "Lord, I really need you in this area." And remember, when you come before the Lord, I tell the baptism class this, that when you come before the Lord and in confession and opening your heart up to him, God's going to speak to you in specifics. The devil will come with condemnation and say that you're a loser, you're no good. But when the Lord speaks to our hearts, he comes in specific ways and specific things and says, "You know, this here is what I want you to work on," or "this here is not right." God will be specific. He will not condemn. And then the promise, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and move them as far as the east is from the west, and the burden's lifted. And we enter into a time of thanksgiving. And I'm not going to say anything about that because that's in our November prayer focus. Galen will be speaking on the prayer of thanksgiving then. But it leads us to a time of thanksgiving, giving thanks to God. And then it leads us to a time of the prayer of supplication. Or it's a time of bringing our specific needs to God. So we've had a time of adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and now we can come before him and bring our needs to him. And this prayer comes with a promise. It comes with a supernatural power and a supernatural promise that peace will guard your heart. As a watchman guards a door or a gate, the peace will guard your heart. The prayer of supplication is a humble request to the Lord. It's a condition of your heart. In the spirit of humility, of brokenness, synonyms are brokenness, earnestness, to entreat. It's focusing on things in my life that I want the Lord to work in or want. It's a petition. You can think of it as a grocery list that you're taking to the Lord. "Lord, here's my needs. This is what I'm wanting to see you move in." I don't think many of us, except maybe some guys, go to a grocery store with not having a list. I know if I go to the grocery store with not being specific and targeted, I come out with stuff I shouldn't have. But most women, when they go to the grocery stores, have a list. And think of it as a list when you go to the Lord and bring your petitions to him. Someone said, "Your prayer life doesn't become dynamic until it becomes specific." I believe this passage is talking about bringing your specific needs to God in specific ways. Jesus said, "Call to me and I will answer you." Picture a father and a child. When you go to ask your father something, he hears you, he listens. He may not always give you what you want. Your father knows best, but he's going to hear you. And he loves to give good gifts to his children. Be specific in your asking. As I've studied this, I've realized that I should be journaling. Now, I'm going to tell you I don't journal. But I've been challenged, and I want to start journaling my prayers. So I ask you to go on this journey with me of bringing your specific needs to God and seeing God move in specific ways. So I just put down a bunch of random ways that you could be specific in your prayers, in your petitions to God. It could be in your journal, you could do your prayers for the year, your prayers for the week, prayers for the day. But write your petitions down, put a box beside it, and when God answers that prayer, put a check mark, put a date, and be specific, like, I'm struggling with an attitude towards Joe. Help me to show him love today. Or I have a meeting with the boss today. Help me to talk in a kind, respectful way. My driving isn't Christ-like. I ask for patience today. I need wisdom today as I choose between two job offers. Be specific in your prayers. And then when you see God answer those prayers, put a check mark. And it'll encourage your heart. It'll grow your faith in your relationship with God in ways that you never dreamed. And you will see the God of the universe being active in your life when we're specific in our requests before the Lord. So you may say, I'm anxious, but God says, don't be anxious. I'm going to get a view of God. I'm going to adore God. I'm going to come before him in confession. I'm going to look within. I'm going to choose to be thankful about the situations in my life. And then, Lord, my prayer of supplication, here's my specific needs that I pray in faith, believing that you are able to do anything. So I come before you, and I lay this list before you, asking you to work in my life, knowing that you are my Father and would love to do good things in our lives. He may not always do it now. It may be a yes, no, maybe, or you got to be kidding me. But I believe God will hear our prayers and will work on our behalf. And when you experience this, when you write down answers to prayer, it'll grow your faith and realize that God is working in your life. And so I ask you to join me in this journey of being specific with God in our supplications, in our prayers. When anxiety knocks at your door of your heart, let's answer with prayer. Let's run to the heart of the Father. Our Father who is in heaven, holy is your name. You love us and you care about us. Bring your needs to him and he will care for them. Confess your sins and he will forgive them. And the result will be anxiety, will not be anxiety, but peace. Now if you look at this verse again, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So that's a posture of coming to God. The promise is that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, you've seen people who have peace in their heart that you just blows you away in traumatic situations. That peace will guard your heart and mind through Jesus Christ. So the command is to stop worrying and let me give you peace. Peace that transcends all understanding and it will guard your heart and mind. Guard your heart from what? It guards your heart from doubt. Doubt enters the mind, and if we don't deal with it, it enters our hearts. And when it enters our hearts, we doubt God's ability to work in our lives. We become cynical. We doubt God's ability, God's power, if we don't deal with the doubt in our lives. So my prayer today is that as we think about the prayer of supplication, that it becomes a real part of our life. Not that it's a regimented, legalistic, I got to do this, but out of a heart, a posture of wanting to connect with our God in a relational way, of adoration, of confession, of thanksgiving, and then our supplications bring our needs to him. God, help us as we go on this journey together. We're going to have prayer time together. Galen's going to lead us in that. Let's just commit this time to the Lord. Father, thank you for being our God and for your invitation to come to you in prayer. And Lord, I pray that as we have looked into your word of just how you want us to come to you with a heart of humility, of just longing to connect with you, Lord, I pray that our prayers will be from our hearts. Lord, if there's things in our way that are clouding, blocking those prayers, that we would be willing to deal with them today. I pray that you would meet us in our needs, in our moments, in life's journey, that we could know that you are with us every step of the way. In Jesus' name, amen.